Same as 15. My God. Okay, we just went from time change to time change and now in a different date. The same as 2015. That's good. I like that. But you know what? What does God have planned for us? That's the question. You know, that's the question. You know, we don't want the same old, same old. If it's not according to God's will, we want God's will for 2015. And to get and to do God's will in our hearts individually and also as a church, that God would lead us and guide us in the direction that he wants us to go. If you would, take your Bibles, please. Hold them up and say, let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you would you please turn to Luke chapter 9? Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke chapter 9. Praise be unto our God. I tell you what, it's so great to be in the presence of God. Don't ever count it as, well, that's just what I do, you know. Let me tell you, always count it as a privilege. Amen. As a privilege to be in the presence of God. A privilege to do that. You know, last week I talked about closing out 2015 and starting 2016. But also, today I'm going to be talking about a man called Joseph. Good name. Amen. But a man called Joseph. But you know what? We should always look to God for everything that we need in our hearts and in our lives. We should never look to ourselves. Because ourself will fool ourselves. It's true. We always need to look to God, and he will fulfill the things that we need on the inside of our lives. Our lives should never be about us, but our lives should always be about him in doing what he wants and accomplishing his will. You know, what does God want us to do? You know, that's a big question. You know, the question is, you know, what does God want me to do? What does God want us to accomplish as a church? As a people? You know, one thing, we've already fulfilled it this morning, and that's giving honor and praise to him. Number one, to give honor and praise to him. As we gathered this morning, I sense and I could feel the presence of God in this place. God moving by his Holy Spirit. But you see, as we worship him, as we honor him, as we sing songs to him, as we lift our hands or kneel or do whatever gestures that we feel God has put upon our hearts, we giving honor and praise to him. And you know, in 2016, that should be one of the things that we desire to do more than ever before. It says in the Old Testament that God is, that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is, and we know he is. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Jacob. He's their God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we can add our name too to it. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. Add your name to it. He is your God, and he's working on your behalf to accomplish his will in your heart and in your life. And he is the only one, God the Father, by his Holy Spirit, through what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, he is the only one that can change our thought patterns. He's the only one that can change the desires of our hearts and change us so we can be like him. We're hearing all kinds of things going around in the churches today that we need to be a better us. We can't be a better us because we're no good. We're no good. You know that, you know how people, that no count, whatever. We are not good. It says in scriptures, it says our goodness is like what? Filthy rags. Only God can do a mighty work in us and help us to do and accomplish that will that He has for us. Only Him. And Jesus paid the price so that we could go to the Father, and the Father can come to us through His Son by the Holy Spirit to help us to accomplish His will in our hearts and in our lives. You might say, well, God doesn't have anything for me. He has a lot for you. He's done a lot for you and I. If God would stop everything today, He's done more than enough for us as human beings, giving us what we need in our hearts and in our lives to live a life that is pleasing unto Him, pleasing unto the Father this day. See, knowing that our faith needs to be in Him and Him alone. Not in a man, not in a woman, not in a church, not in a religion, not in a people, not in a country, nothing except God and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. That will bring victory of every kind in our hearts and in our lives. That's all. That is all. Many things are important to us. Prayer is important. Bible reading is very important. All those things are important, and we need to do those things. God expects us as Christians to want to know Him and desire Him. But scripture reading, praying, fasting won't give us victory. It will not happen. And we've been sold a bill of goods for many years. Many years that's the answer, and it's not. Jesus is the answer. And it's through what Jesus did at Calvary's cross that will bring us victory in our hearts, in our lives, and in everything within us. That will do it. I want to look at someone, and I know I mentioned his name already, which has intrigued me for many, many years. And I've studied, and I've read, and I've read, and I've read about this guy. Because it intrigues me that this man, Joseph, in the many things that he went through, stood up for what was right, did what was right. The anointing of God was upon him. The Spirit of God was in him. God wanted to use him, and God chose him. Probably for many weeks, we're going to be talking about some things about Joseph. Him. I want you to turn, if you would. Let's read Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. It says this, And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. Verse 23, and he said unto them all, said to his disciples, said unto the people, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, he's not talking about denying yourself of certain things, of eating this or that, or what. No. What he's talking about is rather depending upon self to bring victory in your hearts and in my life. That our desires should be of our own willfulness to totally give our hearts and minds totally unto Him. That we would get away from our own wills, self-will, strength, our own self-strength, our own abilities, and look to Him, that He would give us what we need and help us at our time of need. take up our cross, looking to Him exclusively, and follow Him. Follow Him. Follow Him. Look at, now I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 30, if you would. Genesis chapter 30. Joseph, to me, is very intriguing in the many things that he went through. It's amazing to me how he stood up for what was right, the stamina that he had, the commitment that he had to the Lord. You know, you know, back then, people, and I know it's even hard for me to realize this, but I know it's truth. But they didn't have God living in them. Not like we have today. You might say, well, why didn't that happen? Because it wasn't possible. The price of the cross, of the blood of Jesus, and paying that price hadn't happened yet. So it says that the Spirit of God would come over men and women, and they would have a desire for God, and God would move upon them. Great men of old, like Moses and Abraham and all these great Noah and all these great men. But it says Joseph had a desire for God. Not like his brothers. His brothers didn't desire basically God. But he desired God. And it says this. I want to start with his birth because it's so important. It says in Genesis chapter 30, look at verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, that's his mother. Joseph's mother is Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son, and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Now, here we see Rachel had been barren for many years. Her sister Leah was having children, many children. And they got into a contest. Sin will bring you further than you want to go. And they got into a contest. Instead of worshiping God with their children and thanking God, they got in a contest of evil. They brought in their handmaidens. They went even into witchcraft. With Mandrix, trying to have more children by bringing in all kinds of evil. We got to be careful. That was the church at that day. God did not like it. And she was barren for many years because the Savior would come through the lineage of Rachel and them. And God had to bring her to her knees. And let me tell you, God will work in our hearts and lives to bring us to our knees. Because you see, he can't use a heart that is hard before him or stubborn before him. What he's looking for is a heart that will be pliable to him. And he loves us. We know the scripture, it says, for God so loved the world. We are in the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loves us so much. He cares about every aspect of your life in wanting to do great things in you. Bringing you to a place where you look to him and God uses you to touch people for the kingdom of God. 2016, we're looking for a great harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. I was listening to somebody this morning and they were talking about good thing. They were talking about putting the program in a certain country, China. And I said, wow. And he said, they're going to do. That's okay. He said they were going to do everything they can to reach China for the kingdom of God. And my heart got stirred. I said, Lord. And he said, you know, there's 1.4 billion people in China today. The biggest country in the world, basically, as far as numerically. You know, they've added now you can have more than one child. You can have two now. because their population is getting older and they're starting to die, and so they want to keep that image of having that population, which is sad. Huh? It should be because they desire their people to be happy. But he said, we want to reach the people. And we know in China there's many churches, not outward, but underground. It's growing fast. The power of God is moving. 2016, I said, Lord, give us a desire for souls, Lord God. Because you see, that's the name of the game. The name of the game is to praise Him, to honor Him, to love Him, and to win souls for the kingdom of God. Asking God to move upon this generation because we know He's coming. We read the scripture in Revelations. The new Jerusalem will be coming one day. After we're there a while, I can't get into all that stuff. But the new Jerusalem is coming where God's kingdom will be built. And He will come and reign upon the earth. And we want every soul of our families to be there. We want all our brothers and our sisters and our aunts and our uncles. But buddy, we got to open our mouth and we got to share the gospel. We have to share it with people. But also as we share, we need to pray and ask God to move by His Holy Spirit. Because you see, it's not so much with our mouth that they come to God, which He wants us to open our mouth, but it's by the Spirit of God behind it, pressing forth the words that we say upon the hearts of the people. See, the church has gotten as a whole a place where we just go and we just do things. And let me tell you, we're not winning one soul for the kingdom of God, just giving whatever. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't meet some needs. But I tell you what, we need to pray and ask God to move. Because you see, it's the Spirit of God that draws people to the kingdom of God. It's the Spirit of God that snatches the heart and soul of a man and a woman and draws them by the Spirit of God. We have to have that dedicated time of praying and seeking God and asking God to move. And let me tell you, as we talk with people, the Spirit of God comes in and starts to move by His Spirit. No place is lost because there's always hope in God. You might be thinking, well, you know, I don't know about my husband or my daughter or my son. Let me tell you, there's always hope. Amen. There's always hope till that last breath is breathed. And he or she closes their eyes and is gone. There's always hope. There's hope in God. There's hope in Him. And we need to keep our eyes on Him and asking God to move upon this place, move upon this city, this town, move upon our parish like never before, asking God by His Spirit, tearing down the walls of evil. Tearing down the walls of evil and asking God to move. And when God moves, let me tell you, He changes the people. He changes the people. He changes the people. Every day, now I'm going to say this, every day souls are added to this church. You know why I know that? You might say, well, I mean, we have what, 50 people here? 45, 50, something like that. Every day souls are added to this place. You know why I know that? Because we support a ministry that reaches souls every day. Amen. You know, we do not ask you to do something that we don't do. I know I talked about tithing because we tithe, and I'm not trying to be, but that is something we do, and we tithe here. We're not going to tithe somewhere else. Some do, though. I've seen it. We tithe here. Because that's God's economy. But I wouldn't ask you to do something or ask us to do something that our whole church is not doing either. As a church, we tithe. I say, Pastor, what do you mean? What do you mean? After that offering is counted, the first check we make, the first one, I think it's first, I hope. Miss Gail does it. I'm saying it's first, so it better be first. No, I hope. Well, it's in there. We tithe to Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. That's who we're under, basically. That's who we're under. might say, well, why do y'all do that? Because that's something God put upon our hearts to do. So you get a double blessing of tithing here, and we tithe up to Jimmy Swaggart's. And they're reaching people every day through the telecast and ministry. And it's not added just to them, but it's added to us. I can't wait when God calls the church and gifts are brought out, because it's going to blow us away. Who gets what? Who gets what? It's going to be those churches that are laid out way in the back streets of whatever, that God's going to say, thou good and faithful servants. And I'm not trying to put down any other. No, not at all. But let me tell you, what God sees, God rewards. What God sees, God rewards. What God sees, God rewards. We are here to reach souls for the kingdom of God like nothing else. To give praise and honor to Him and to touch people. Yesterday at work, I told you that man, I had to go outside. I had to make a double load. That means you have to go outside with your buggy twice. I know Melinda knows what I'm talking about. Big buggies, because there's so much stuff. And so I went out to do my first one, and they had this, older guy that's been there a long time. He's been there a long time. So he's about, 40 feet away. He's way over here, and I'm way over here. And he hollers out and he says, I didn't know you were a pastor. And I'm thinking, I thought everybody knew. You know, you don't know. He said, I didn't know that. He said, you actually get up in front of people? You know, like people. I said, well, yes. I mean, I get up in front of people. Well, where's the church? So I told him where it was, and told him I was an associate pastor for many years, and now we started a church. He said, y'all actually just started a church? I said, yeah. 6 years ago, we started our church. He said, you know, that's a gift. I said, you're right. That is a gift that God gives to certain people, to be able to stand up in front of people and deliver a message. He said, you know, He said, what Bible do you use? I said, well, you know, I use the King James Version. He said, is that Jehovah Witness? I said, and you know, I am just kind of, I said, no, but you see, people don't know.
That's right.
And we take for granted, you know. He said, is that Jehovah Witness? And I kind of laughed, giggled, and I said, no. I said, that's Christian. You know, I said, that's King James. And I tried to explain a little bit, you know, we couldn't. And so he said, you know, I go to church over there, another town, Erath. And he said, you know, somebody praying at that statue 24/7. I said, 24/7? He said, I don't believe it. But he said, I know it's true. They do it. But he said, I don't believe you should stand in front of a statue. I said, that's right. Said God says in His commandments not to have any graven images or bow down before anything. He said, you know, a guy that used to work here. I said, oh, I didn't know who he was talking about. He's gone, but he said all Catholics were going to hell. That's what he told me. I said, well, that's not truth. And he looked at me because I wasn't arguing with him. I said, that's not truth. I said, the only door to heaven is Jesus Christ. And I said, if you have Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life and you've accepted Him into your heart and life, heaven is your home. And he just, oh, he said, I hadn't thought of that. I said, He is the only way. There's no other way. And I didn't talk about other things. I said, there's no other way. But Jesus Christ, He is the only one, the only way. And he was like, okay. And then, I mean, God gave us that moment. And let me tell you, that's a miracle. That God gave us that moment when there are 11 carriers and only two of us are out there. And he's talking to me about that. And we're having to holler because we're like 40, 50 feet away, loading up our vehicles, hollering back, you know, the answers and talking. That God gave, that no one else walked outside, not the rural carriers, not the city carriers, no bosses, nobody. And then it took about 5 to 10 minutes and everything just kind of shut down and that was it. And I said, well, I said, I have to go load up. Oh, okay. He said, it was good talking to you. I said, good talking to you too. See how God planted that seed of salvation in his heart and life. He's gone home and he's thinking about what I said. Not because of what I said it, but because of the spirit behind it, people. We don't realize that it's not our performance. You see, I don't get up to perform before you. That's not my care less. I don't perform. I give out of my heart towards you because I love you and God has placed me here. And when you give out of your heart, it's not a job. It's a pleasure. You see? And God is looking for a people that will be just an oracle. And as you speak forth, God the Holy Spirit just slams it into their hearts. And I know I'm kind of getting off because I'm not on what I wanted, but that's okay. But people, let me tell you, I appreciate you. As I looked out this morning and I got up, my heart was happy. I have to say, it's like I said, Lord, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. That people come to sit to listen to me. But you see, it's not so much me. It's the Spirit of God drawing to hear the truth of the gospel that will change my life and change your heart and life. What's that, ma'am? Hungry. Hungry for the truth of the gospel. Let me tell you, it's Jesus Christ and him crucified, people, and nothing else. Let me say it again. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified and nothing else, people. Amen. It's none of this hogwash that you hear on TV. It's none of the hogwash you're hearing. Don't, look, turn that stuff up. Don't listen to it. And let me tell you, don't send a dollar or a penny to any one of these characters that are robbing you and telling you that you're going to get $1 million or $1,000 back from giving $10. Because he's stealing from you and he's lying to you. Come on. Don't do it. Don't do it. You look to God, you give to your church. And you let the Spirit of God move. Now that doesn't mean don't get, you know, use the Spirit of God inside of you to do those things. Let God lead and guide you like never before in 2016. Let him do a mighty work. I you know, you might say, my God, I'm thinking about the end of 2016 and thinking, Lord, where will we be as a church and as individuals? Some of you have a teaching ability that is par none. That you're sitting on it. Let God teach people the word. Don't sit on it. Some of you have a giving heart. Give like you never gave before. A lot of you have caring hearts that you care about children. Minister to these children and help us. Minister to these children. Let God use you on the inside to fulfill his purpose in your heart and in your life for 2016. Let him. You might say, well, how do I get that done? You get with him and you say, Father, lead me. Because I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. But you know what's coming my way because I know old Slewfoot is at your door knocking and requesting things. just as he did Job. See, the devil has certain access to the throne of heaven. But you see, we have all access to the throne of heaven. Hallelujah. Totally different, because we are children of God. That we can go through the blood of Jesus, and we can go through the throne room of God, and we can make our petitions before the Father and saying, God, move upon my children, move upon my church, move upon my spouse, move upon our city, move upon our town, Lord God. Help us to accomplish your will. Lord, strengthen the church, strengthen the church, strengthen the hands of your pastors, asking God to move like never before, because he sees things in you that sometimes we don't see in ourselves. But God sees it. Well, amen. It's only 11 o'clock. You might say, Pastor, my stomach is telling me different. I understand. Praise God. I appreciate you guys. Next week we'll talk about Joseph's dreams and his coat of many colors and all kinds of stuff. Like I said, we'll be on Joseph a little while, because as I have read and studied this guy, it has changed my life. And so I just want to express to you those things that God has put in me for you. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand? Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Would you just bow your heads for just a minute, please, if you don't mind? Won't be long. I know we've gone over just a little bit, but I want to ask you a very important question. If something happened to you today, and you closed your eyes for the last time, would you wake up in heaven? Would heaven be your home? You might say, Pastor, I'm not sure. If you're not sure, you need to let us pray with you. If you're not sure and you would like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you please raise your hand? I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see your hand back there. I see your hand back there. Amen. I see your hand back there. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just checking to make sure. Amen. Let's all pray together, because we have three people that raised their hands and we want to pray with them. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you into my heart and into my life, that I will live for you from this day forward. Your will be done in my heart and in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you for making that decision. Praise God. Amen. Look, guys, I appreciate you. Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you. And we love you. And if you haven't received your contribution records for this last year, 2015, please come and get it before you leave, okay? But look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you. And we pray the best for 2016 in your life. Praise God. You are a blessing to me. Thank you. I appreciate you. Love you. Have a great day. Amen.